Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline! 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Drew. The show is Loveline. Joining us in studio, none other than Joel McHale. Joel, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
You all know him as the host of The Soup on E, 10 p.m. Friday, and then airing eternally 4,000, yeah, at least 400 times.
He's got to get their money's worth.
They do indeed, don't they?
Yeah. That's what's so great about cable.
It is great.
They make four shows and then repeat it.
Well, and they pay you at least 38 cents.
Yeah,
so
then they pay you a fourth or a 400th of what. Yeah, it's great.
Right.
So immediately start complaining.
Now, we were talking about the fact that I watched this week's show, and this week's was very funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And you had a quip about the Flavor of Love and the Lisa Loeb show.
Well, yeah, because Flav show, we are really sad about it, ended this week.
He gave out
his final clock.
Yes.
Oy vey. And
handed over some gold teeth.
The crunk teeth. He handed those to Swoops or whatever, and Hoops. That was her name. And we were very sad at the Soup because there's no more spinoffs planned so far.
Well, that's it.
He had his Brigitte Nielsen spinoff called Strange Love before that, and then that was from The Surreal Life. And then we have already proposed that he get together with Lisa Loeb, who has the show on E called Number One Single, and do Flavor of Loeb.
Perfect. All those two together would be
explosive. It'd be great because she is only looking for a Jewish man. And if he would convert, I think there's a whole show there.
Oh, my God.
And if she would take up smoking like Brigitte Nielsen, it would just be
genius.
We would love it. So we're kind of scared that we don't have one of those car accident-like shows coming up, like Flavor Love. But Jonathan Anton show is coming back.
Yes,
blowout.
Yes.
Oh.
And Project Runway is always there.
Yes.
And so is the new Top Model. That's always there. Good for stuff.
Well, so you know, Tyra is an unending well.
Have you done her show?
Not done her show.
Have
you done her show?
Yes.
How was it?
It's fine. It's getting better. I mean, she's really improved as a talk show host. She's good.
All right.
Yeah. No, she is. She
No, we like her. We obviously like her a lot because she puts on fat suits and dresses and disguises herself as a scarecrow when she goes and strips.
We did a reach for them.
Yeah.
The strip club when she went
did
there.
Did you see that?
I saw it on your show.
Yeah, she went to a strip club and pretend she was about to
walk. First of all, she was
out.
Dressed up like a peacock. Like
she looks
clearly never been to a strip club. We were talking about this the other day because guys, women, and even television, when it reproduces men in a strip club, it looks like women at a Chippendales show, which is woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, guys bounding on tables. No, you go to a strip club, guys are silent. They've got like their game face on. Everyone looks straight ahead. No one makes a sound. Everyone's busy. Everyone's at work.
It's the most depressing place in the world, I've heard.
And you don't dress up like a stripper. You know, you just are a stripper. She dressed up like a stripper and then.
She kind of looked like a cross between Prince and the Scarecrows. We kind of figured it out.
Yeah. When was the last time you were at a strip joint, Drew?
Oh, my bachelor party.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
16 years ago, 1991.
That was the last time you had a drink, too, right?
Yeah, that was. Andrew, how'd you know? No, I had wine with dinner on Friday.
Hey, we have a drink in front of us right now.
It's called MDX.
This was out. This was out before we were even. It was just here.
It's sitting on our counter here. It's a new Mountain Dew drink, and I thought, oh my God, how many different incarnations of MD and diagnosis come into one drink? That's full of sugar and caffeine and.
We were discussing whether we could say anything.
Guarana seed extract.
This is actually what they're dropping on Fallujah right now.
Nice.
In a good way to keep the soldiers energized.
Nice.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's take some calls, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Joel McHale's our guest, and this is Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on?
You tell us.
I was just wondering, me and my girlfriend, I mean, we've been together for about 3 or 4 years, and it seems like anytime we get together, and I mean, we could just start making out, or you know, we can even just be laying down or whatever. I always get an erection really quick.
Weird.
And I was just wondering. And I mean, like, and I don't understand why it happens really quickly and so often.
So this is where you come in.
Well, you're clearly gay. I would say, especially with that sort of reaction around a woman. And I think you should dump her and start dating men. Drew?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin, what makes you think that's not normal?
No, it's not that I'm not thinking that it's not normal. It's just
the entire drug industry is trying to duplicate what happens to you.
Right.
It's
right.
Like,
and
I
make
mean,
millions.
We can just be laying down.
Yes, that is your biology. That's the male. That the male is always ready for action.
It's not like one of those birds that dips into the cup when mm-hmm. you lie down. It just or like a doll's eyes.
No, there's no weight or anything on the back of the penis that sort of pulls it out when you lie down or when you sit next to a girl. But the fact is that it shows that you're into her, you're attracted to her, you're aroused by her, and men have no disconnect between arousal and drive. In other words, as soon as you get aroused, you're like being around this person, you like her, you're aroused by her, you're ready, you're moving towards action. Women have exactly the opposite. Women get arousal with no drive, which is why they're always like, well, what makes you think I want to have sex with this person? Just because I said he was hot doesn't mean,
right?
You know, they're confused, bewildered. Well, I dress like this for me. I mean, just because you look at me, you get aroused, but it doesn't mean you want to have sex with me. It makes me feel good.
Is that really how it happens?
Not only is it happening like that, in most women, there's functional MRI scans now that show that clearly that's what's going on.
Wow.
That they don't get the hypothalamic and amygdala drive response in response to any visual sexual stimuli. They have to, you know how you can get it going in most women? With intimate conversation.
Right.
Talking.
In Jane Eyre novels.
Talking. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why they read those crazy novels, those Charlotte.
Right.
Harlequin novels. That's
pornography.
For them.
Now, why do I have that reaction when I'm playing Grand Theft Auto?
You're gay.
Okay.
Next call. This is Joanna.
Yes.
What's up?
I had kind of a two-part question for you. I'm a squirter, and I'm curious as to know, like, one, where that comes from. Like, if it's just, like, you know, just really intense orgasm. And two, like, what a guy's reaction to that is.
Well, where does it come from, Joel?
I thought there was, I'm embarrassed now for her. No, I assume there is a third opening for her. That there's she's a mutant of some sort. She's one of the X-Men, and in fact.
Well, it connects directly with heaven. There's a series of glands in that area. There's two possibilities. One is that you're having orgasmic incontinence, meaning you're urinating with the orgasm, which is, at your age, very unlikely. Have you ever had children?
No.
Yeah, that's very unlikely. The other is there's a series of glands in the area, Bartholin's glands, Skene's glands, that produce a lot of fluid, and they can sort of come out in repetitive
there's
attractions.
So if she would have a kid, it would get, it could possibly be worse?
Well, if they have kids, yeah, it can change. It can go away or get more. Or they can start to get urinary incontinence with orgasm. But when they get that, usually they get it with coughing and sneezing. And when they unload, you know, during orgasm, it's like, it's all over the, it, you know, they're throwing down tarps and it's getting on the floor
yeah.
and stuff.
Then you want to get a slip and slide. And then instead of being embarrassed by it, you want to be liberated by it, I would say. Go ahead.
Really liberated by it, actually. Like, I enjoy it, but I think at some point, like, it tends to scare the guy at some point. Like, they're either really turned on, they're like, ooh, you know, like, this is, like, my biggest fantasy, this is the only something I've
right.
seen before knows kind of thing.
Right. Most of them are like, oh, look what I did. This is fantastic. I was able to do this. And, by the way, if you really want to keep them engaged, just tell them it's not happened with anybody else. Oh, look what happened. Is it crazy?
I'm totally incontinent because of you, babe. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a big turn on.
Yeah, I think most guys would be fine with it. Did you find that?
That they were really turned on by it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and I think some kind of get scared by it, but, like, most guys are just, like, completely just, like, taken aback by it.
If you, like, get some sexy it. Diapers or something, that it could be, like, a whole thing to, all right. So
yeah,
I would go there.
Yeah, I used to do nympho nurse and research,
right.
So
what?
What?
What? What is?
You're like, what? Qua? Yeah.
What?
Well, that's a good idea.
Well, hold on. You dropped a little bomb in here and didn't explain it. What?
Well, I did this role play with my ex-boyfriend. He would, like, be in the bathtub, and I'd be sitting on the edge, like, talking to him, and it just kind of happened one day. Like, he would pretend like he was drowning, and I would save him and then take advantage of him. And we dubbed it Nympho Nurse and Retard.
Oh my God.
Wow. Actually, that should be a Fox pilot, I think, that's been written.
I think it's ready for air. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's been written already. How did you decide that would be the role playing, the fantasy?
I actually didn't. That's what he dubbed it.
Do you like being the dominant partner?
At times, I like it equal. I like to be dominated at times, and I like to dominate as well.
All right. And you got rid of the guy that was the retard, yes?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. That sounded a little...
So, like, what do you think? 10 years of canceling for her?
No, I think she's fine.
All right, great.
For us, after this call, maybe some of our other listeners, but yeah. No, I think she's fine.
Great. Right? See you, nympho nurse and retard.
Carla.
Oh, hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Carla, what's happening?
Well, I have a yeast infection, and I was wondering if I can give that to my boyfriend and if he can pass it back to me.
Yeah, you could, but it's not really that likely. Men can harbor a little bit of it in the urethra, and they can get a skin infection. But for the most part, if you just use your yeast creams, that'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about what he gets.
Can you have something, give it to someone, then you get better, and then they give it back
to you? Yes, that's typically what happens with STDs. That's why both partners often need to be treated. And, you know, if he had some sort of immune problem, you'd worry about the yeast getting in the mouth. I mean, you can get thrush. But most people with normal immune systems don't really get that. So,
now, am I going to get it if I go down on him after he's...
No. It's really not going to happen. It just isn't the way it goes. And if it does, these are all easy things to take care of. So, and most importantly, get the over-the-counter cream, control the vaginal yeast. You sure it's a yeast infection?
No, I went to the doctor on Friday because I didn't know. I've never had one before. What?
Really?
How did you get it?
How did I get it? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. How did I get it?
Did you take
I guess there's
you on a basketball team? Or
did you take some antibiotics?
No.
Did you start with a new partner?
No.
Using bakery. Condoms, new kind of condoms. You know, strangely, you say the bakery thing. Somebody was joking about that on this show once, and somebody faxed me an article that's showing that women working in this certain bakery get a certain kind of candida
really?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it makes sense. There's a lot of the yeast around.
So, another pilot that needs to
be. We were running low, so we used a bunch of different types of whatever we found around the house. So I suppose we were using different brands and stuff. But
of what?
Condoms.
Yeah, that's where you got it from. Because anything changing the sort of environment in there can predispose to a yeast infection.
So I like how they're just kind of around the house.
Well,
like you're cleaning out the fridge or something?
I mean, they were like in, you know, whatever.
Right.
So when I was at the doctor's on Friday, though, the doctor gave props to Dr. Drew for helping so many women. Because she
that's
is testing me for gonorrhea and chlamydia.
Yeah, good. Case, important. And Angie.
2 years plus since. You know.
And HPV too, right?
No, she didn't. She's not testing me for HPV.
Did she do a pap smear?
Yeah.
She'll look at it also. She'll look at that.
Yeah, now Dr. Drew's mad at your doctor.
No, I'm not at all.
I go regularly. It's all good.
I bring it up, Carla, because there's going to be an HPV vaccine. I mean, we are weeks away from it. So keep your ear to the ground on that one. Everyone within the sound of my voice.
It is being tested on third world countries,
right? It's active human testing. It's very effective, and it's going to prevent cervical cancer and HPV in everybody. So there.
Nice.
This is John. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was wondering, sometimes when I have sex with my girlfriend, she punches me.
So your wife does that too, right? John? Joel?
She usually gives it's a lot of slapping and elbows, but never just the she's broken a couple fingers that way. So
her fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when it gets hurt.
That's really strange, right?
Yeah, it does happen a fair bit, though.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Choking and punching and stuff like that. People that have been mishandled growing up, the arousal centers sort of burn out. They need higher levels of arousal to feel aroused.
Well, I don't see why they would punch.
It's probably to try to get punched back kind of thing. It's just all part of a struggling, you know, of aggressive, you know.
If you could put like a speed bag in between you two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
Do you know anything about her history?
Oh, God, I have no idea. I think she was raised on a farm. I'm not really sure.
Oh.
Well, then, of course. Yeah, that.
A lot of farmers.
Punch.
She's actually trying to do some planting on you. She's. So, counseling for her, yeah?
No, not necessarily.
All right.
because it's not really going to do anything. I would bring it up with her, discuss it with her. Here's the.
Do they realize they're doing it?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think the important thing is that he discuss if she's able to maintain a stable relationship with him, and they really have a decent relationship. He needs to convince her not to do this, and needed to begin to have real, you know, sexual relations. If she can't, then therapy.
Okay.
Austin.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? You're on Joel McHale.
Cool. Okay. My question is, I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 2 months now, and I finally got her. She was really timid to like let me go down on her at first, and then I kind of found out why. She has a hairy vagina. And I was just wondering what would be a good way to tell her that she needs to shave that, because I can't deal with that.
Disgusting.
Austin, I think we had a nickname here, Sir Walter Raleigh. I think
I need some Wellbutrin
Deal with this. I needed Compazine myself. But
yeah, what's that?
Anti-nauseal.
All right.
You seemed a little enthusiastic about that.
Where do I get it?
Can you score for me?
Yeah, that would be great. I don't know, Dr. Drew.
There's a slight feeling of bogosity about this call.
Yeah, a little bit. So what is it, like 6 inches? You could probably just have, you know.
Hey, Austin, you still there?
Yeah.
This is not a bogus call?
I swear to God, it's not. I know it sounds like it. It really does, but it's not. I need a good way to tell her. Like,
Joel, has a famous solution.
Yeah. Do you live in Arizona?
No, I live in Idaho.
Oh, there's one there too, actually. There's a few. It's called Fantastic Pubes.
Really?
And you should go to Sherry, and because she's the best. And you should go there, and it'll be taken care of.
Sweet. What's it called again?
Fantastic Pubes.
I've never heard of that, actually.
I know. You know Fantastic Sam's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part same company.
Just different.
Really?
Yeah, just a different area.
Sherry did a weave on my girlfriend's vagina last week. It was great.
They have Merkins there, too, you know?
Yeah, you can get, there's a lot of those shops down in East L.A., too.
The Merkin Mart behind.
Merkin Mart.
Behind Fantastic Pubes.
Yeah, it's right back there. In that case, I don't think the Merkin Mart behind the one in Idaho, in Boise, is as good as the one in Arizona. But it's something to think. They don't use real human hair.
Austin, I'm a little confused why a guy that's into a girl that wants to do this with her would let that get in his way so much.
I don't. It's like a pet peeve of mine. Like,
why don't you kind of?
I guess this could explain it. None of my ex-girlfriends, all of them were smooth.
Or what?
So I guess I kind of got used to it.
They were what?
All my last girlfriends were smooth.
See, that's even weirder though, right?
Yeah. Is that the thing now, buddy?
That's what I like. I don't like hair in the way.
All right, here you go. I got an idea. Next time things start happening, in advance, you should go to Fantastic Pubes, have everything removed, and as a way to kind of
initiate it.
Yeah.
So this is what I really like. Is that something?
Does that sound okay?
Sounds good. And also,
use the sensor.
What's that?
Like anything wrong with me or what?
Is there anything wrong with you?
You're going to go blind.
Yeah. I don't like that you are that objectifying of people.
Yeah.
It just kind of doesn't feel good to me.
If you're spending time down there, Drew, it does get kind of in the way.
Oh, Anderson.
I mean, wow. if he's looking around.
Pray tell.
Just how about enjoy her company, and eventually you'll not think about it so much.
He's 19.
If you're spending any oral time down there, you end up flossing by mistake, though. It's not good.
And you thought to call the show. I mean, he's like, I need to call this show and get down to the bottom.
Yeah. I don't know. It's troublesome. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, just talk to her and tell her your preferences are like anything else. Just be matter of fact about it. And don't be demeaning of her. Don't be angry or resentful. Just say, like, I'm into this. Sarah.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much.
You're on with Joel McHale.
Hello. All right. Well,
his new show is the Flavor of Loeb.
Flavor of Loeb. Coming up on E.
And what was unacceptable. The other one? What's the other one we got for Fox? A few minutes ago.
Nympho Nurse and Retard.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
You're writing it down.
I am.
Hey, we need to call the copyright office.
So what's up, Sarah?
I have a problem. I have a really irregular period, and it'll be, like, really, really heavy. And then I find myself, after I just get off of it, and I have an orgasm with my boyfriend, I've been blacking out. Like, I blacked out in the shower twice right after that. And then my period will start up again.
And you, if you orgasm not in relation to your period?
Well, it's just, like, right after. Like, I will be finished with my period for a couple of days, and then I will have an orgasm with my boyfriend, and then that'll happen to me.
But
I don't
are you
know
sure?
If it's the heavy blood loss that I'm having, or what is the problem?
Well, certainly.
Does that happen?
Yeah.
People passing out orgasm? Yeah, it does. I mean, you can get a lot of blood loss with heavy periods, and if you're not, you know, if you have a relative deficiency of iron, you can get anemic, and that could predispose to passing out with all kinds of exertion. So that's a possibility. And yes, it could be more prone to that after your period. So it makes some sense. However, this needs to be thoroughly evaluated, because there are funny heart conditions can, you know, things you'd be born with and not know it can cause this. There are neurological problems that are rather serious that can cause this. And it may not, in fact, be that related to the period. It may just seem like it is.
But then my period will start up again after
That's nothing.
Sexual,
No. That always happens. I mean, that doesn't always happen. That's a very common thing, that people get bleeding after sex. So then you're sort of making all these sort of associations in your own mind. They're spurious. They're not real. Why don't you go back and see your doctor?
Do you have a doctor?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's take care of that, because, like I said, it can be a serious heart or brain problem, okay?
Okay.
All right, good.
Not to scare you.
And you need to have a blood count to see if you're anemic. It's just a simple issue.
Yeah, just go.
The only way I'm going to get her back to the doctor is if I scare her. So that is to scare you.
Drive really fast.
Yeah, well, tomorrow. You can just walk.
Yeah.
So what else coming up? Joel McHale.
You mean in
your
R&E?
Life, R&E, whatever.
Oh, I got an Xbox 360.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
Yes.
Did you get your kids one or is?
Yes. I haven't seen them since.
It's. I just showed my dad today the World War II game, and
which one?
Call of Duty 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
It's the one where you're out there.
It's so. I like all the cool. After you die, all these famous quotes come up.
Is he a?
He's
veteran?
A big, but he's a big war buff.
Oh, really?
So,
did he just go insane?
He, like, just will read textbooks.
Wow.
World War II or whatever war. And I was a history major, so it brings us together in a wonderful way. And it's just been.
Sons and fathers coming together around violence. It's awesome.
Dad, do you see the way the blood splats off the German? That was researched for weeks to make sure that was right. And you can turn on. Oh, it's great.
What?
Right now we're in the Soviet campaign or the Russian campaign.
Right.
Right in the beginning of it. It's really exciting. Other than that, I think I'm going to be hosting the Best of Talk Soup come, I think, April 9th. I think that's when it's scheduled. We're taping it this week.
You have Whitney and Bobby as special guests?
It's not the best of the soup. It's the best of, like, the last 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kind of like what it is and what happened and now that it is. You started with Kinnear and all that, and then it ends.
Wow.
It ends with the soup. Now.
Oh, how fun.
So that should be good. It should be fun.
Is it going to be like an hour special?
Yeah.
And all the old hosts and things coming back? Or?
Unknown at this point.
Oh, hoping to come back. Some of them may come back.
Yeah, some of them may. You hosted once, right?
I hosted once, yeah.
So maybe you could come back?
No, yeah, I'd be happy to. But I mean the real hosts. I mean.
I you know what? I'm not sure at this point. I don't have all the details. I've been pretty distracted by the 360.
I think I told you the story that when we did that show, Adam just doesn't read.
Right.
Not read teleprompters, and he told them and told them and told them. They're like, yeah. Just come on out there. Well, here you go, and go and read.
And
the
then
prompter.
The teleprompter started
and,
scrolling,
and he just completely went off and talked about how, I forget what he was talking about, but
and was it great?
Well, he mentioned something about how he likes to take a snow globe, you know, with a little town in it, and hold it next to his penis so he can scare all the townspeople and make him feel really good about the size of his genitalia. And
they go like, it's.
And there's poor Tom, like, pointing at the prompter.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom is cheating on you with.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yeah.
We showed a clip 2 weeks ago of Tom at the Oscars with Ryan Seacrest.
He's cheating.
That was hard.
It bothered me.
But I would, too.
I just imagine how you felt.
But imagine if, you know, you had $21 million and I didn't. You'd go with that guy. He would probably take
you
it out much nicer.
You have a wife and a kid.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Ryan's really busy and exciting. And so I feel like he can do what he wants.
He's got his own network now.
Yeah, it's the Ryan Seacrest Network. We all have to wear a uniform. and a shirt. It's a polo shirt. It's very much like the people at Hollywood Video.
Nice.
We were actually, it's a bow tie. It's whole thing. It's great.
And
how about you?
On the Ryan Seacrest Network at 10 o'clock on Friday, you can see The Soup, which Joel McHale hosts. And frankly, if you haven't seen it, I can't understand why not, because you don't have to watch all those crappy reality shows.
No.
Because all you're watching for are the few moments that Joel pulls out for you and shows you. Like, for instance, was it Wife Swap or Trading Spouses?
It was Trading Spouses.
Yes.
Giant nutbag.
Here she is.
She's not a Christian!
Yes.
Oh, well, that woman was awesome. Oh, she's got an album and movie now. This week,
we're talking about the one who's got weakness of the flesh.
Yes.
This week.
And her
yes,
husband.
Yes!
That woman seriously has an album now and is in a movie.
What is the album about?
They've taken different clips of her and basically remixed it into a hip hop album.
Oh.
You should get that, Anderson. It is great. Or it's about. Exactly.
How about the woman who's got weaknesses of the flesh? Is she?
She was great.
We'll see more of her. Yes,
I hope so. We'll probably bring that back. And her husband, who was taking it was great.
What?
He had
what?
Huge. That was the guy.
Nutbag?
Well, that was the guy. After we showed she had a weakness of the flesh, we were like, well, her husband must be awesome.
Must be hot. Yeah.
And then he had an enormous
beard,
overgrown beard, and he tatters of hair, just matted,
and could barely talk.
Could barely talk, and he was going to take some hippie stuff and turn it into a giant nutbag. And I'm not even paraphrasing the quote that much. So it was awesome. I mean, that was clip of the week, pretty much.
So anyway, you don't have to watch any of that ridiculous reality stuff. You just watch The Soup.
Yeah.
And it airs throughout the weekend, and throughout the week, really, I guess, on the Ryan Seacrest Network.
Yeah, on Ryan Seacrest Network. Yeah. When he's not on, we're usually on.
Yes, sir.
Or Lisa Loeb.
And the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's a love line. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Joel McHale, and we will return after this.
Yeah, love line.
Love line will be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call and talk to Joel McHale, who's our guest tonight from The Soup, 10 o'clock Friday and throughout the week. And this week you had a thing on cyberspace.
Yeah,
where first of all, you had the most disturbing, what's the African-American
name? Omarosa?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
what
Soul Sistas?
What was that?
It's some crazy website she put together. I don't understand what it is.
She's lost her mind.
Well, I think it's someone who's 15 minutes. She's in her 16th minute now.
Whoa.
And she is reaching for everything. For those of you who did not see it, which is 98% of you, it's her new website. And
I mean, I don't mean to disparage her. Yeah, it's just a nutty website. It's like, what is she doing? What is she thinking? It's like,
I don't get it. I mean,
I thought she was a business professional. Did she come in through The Apprentice?
Clearly, she's putting some business model she learned from him in there somehow. I don't know how she's going to make money on that, but she puts these videos up there, and they're crazy. They look like weird Olivia Newton-John videos from 81 or something, and it's crazy. Well, and she was also a beauty pageant queen before she was in The Apprentice and before she did business school, and if you're in the beauty pageants, no offense to everybody out there, but you're always just one.
It's an interesting world, we say.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Interesting world.
And then we had that Star Trek thing.
Yes.
Also, where there's these guys that have built sets and put together the costumes and just shoot entire episodes of the old Star Trek, and Paramount is fine with it because it's kind of honoring. So they're not doing it for profit or anything.
Gotta find Trouble with Tribbles. Is that coming up? Or?
I'm sure it is.
Oh my God.
I'm sure that. Yeah, they're building them now.
Brian.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Dr. Drew, first time caller, long time listener.
Cool.
Thanks for saying that.
So here's the deal. My girlfriend likes me to fist her, and what kind of problems can that cause?
Well, Joel.
Maybe putting the fist there could be the first problem.
Yeah, I was totally against it at first, but basically she was like, she just would go nuts on me until I did it. So I did it, and then I really don't think it's good, though. Like,
yeah.
What kind of, like, complications could that cause?
Brian, I'm intrigued. However, usually when a caller calls up with something outrageous and really makes a declaration with no real question, I'm suspicious. How does one get one's hand into that their small space?
How does that work?
Quite a bit of forcing.
Oh, you take a fist, you form a fist and you force it in?
Well, no, you start with like two fingers and you kind of, well, pretty much you have to use both your hands at first.
What was that medicine, buddy? What was that medicine, Dr. Bill?
Medicine?
That one that stops nausea.
Oh, Compazine.
Yeah.
We have Zofran too, it's new power.
Where'd you guys meet? Like at a Johnny Rockets or something?
No.
Kind of fun? Like Sock Hop or something?
We met on MySpace.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, she's a prostitute, right?
No.
So, again, I'm still not clear how you get your hand in there.
Well, I was trying to explain it, and I got interrupted. So
I'm sorry.
I was so sorry.
I know. You just hear a lot about
MySpace. And Joel, you have upset his delicate sensibilities.
You're right. Please. I will go ahead with the fisting story.
So, anyway, you take both your hands, and you kind of, like, take your index finger and your flip-off finger, and you work it apart, and then you try to get one, like all four fingers of one hand in there, and then pretty much you just slip the thumb in, like you're trying to deliver a baby or something, and then you get it in there and then make a fist.
And what is it she likes about that?
She says it like feels way better than an actual penis going into her. Like,
oh boy.
It takes up more space. That's what she says it does. I seriously think it's like ripping her apart. Like, I don't think it's good at all. But
well, it's not good. However, it's a part of the body sort of designed to expand and to handle, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah.
However, I know. I wouldn't advise this. And, particularly what you can do is cause urinary tract infections and tears in the wall, the bladder and the rectum, and, you know, cause what's called a rectocele or a cystocele, where the bladder falls down into the vagina, and you can cause tears and things, but more than not, it's sort of these, I worry more about bladder function and that kind of thing, that the surrounding organs are being ripped apart as well.
Maybe, the FBI needs to go in and get all her journals or something and set up her on an island somewhere with a therapist just to
kind of get through this,
started out, and
anything we need to know about her? Is it regular type?
She comes from an awesome family and everything. Mm-hmm. it's that one little quirk, that's all it is.
And does she orgasm during this?
She does, actually. Yeah. And she's a sporter.
She like 8 feet tall,
and then right, and then only and during actual intercourse? No
intercourse. I pretty much, I just do that for my own pleasure. She gets nothing out of it.
I see. That's got to be very...
Something happened, right?
There's like some kind of like horrible disease or something I could tell her that would happen if I keep doing this, so I can like...
Sure. Hantavirus.
Well, no, not the hantavirus so much as serious disturbances, disruption of the function and structure of her bladder and urethra. That's the thing I worry about most. And you can tear the vulva and tear the, you know, parts of the vagina. It's good times. It's good time.
I get a manicure. I don't know.
Go to Fantastic Pubes.
Yeah,
I think
there
that's what. Yeah. John.
Yes.
What's up there, John? You're on with Joel McHale.
Hey. Yeah, I don't really know that much about you.
Most people don't. That's how I like it.
And by the way, we always like that, with that positive out of the gate comment that our callers make. Hey, yeah. I don't know you. You sound like a nice guy.
Like their honesty about it.
Do you ever watch E?
Not really. I don't have time for too much TV.
What are you doing?
Going to school a lot and working a lot.
Good. All right. Good answer.
Like college?
Yeah.
Junior college?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, right now, junior college.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's your question?
My question is, where do fetishes come from?
Well, there's actually debate about that.
Finland, right?
Finland mostly, Helsinki specifically.
Yeah.
But there's debate about it. I don't think there's any real consensus about it. Fundamentally, it's thought of as something that happens during development that is intense and overwhelming, and your brain sort of develops a focus to distract itself from the intense feelings. And that focus then becomes sexualized when you hit puberty. Okay. Or sort of becomes more explicitly sexualized. I mean, that's about the best way I can describe it to you. People have all sorts of interpretations of what it is and what it means and the meaning of it, that kind of thing. But basically the fundamental phenomenon is something intense happens to you and you happen to be at your mom's feet. And if you remember, you've heard this show before, things that are overwhelming and terrorizing in childhood become sources of attraction in adulthood. So, for instance, if you have an abusive, physically abusive alcoholic dad, magically, if you're a girl, that's what you tend to look for in your partners. And by the same token, it can affect what choices males make in their partners. And things like this, typically thought of as intense feelings about mom, and they're typically fetishes are thought of as primarily in men. Though obviously S&M exists in women as well.
Yeah.
How do you like that, John?
And the S&M thing is more just people that have, more often than not, people who are physically abused growing up or aggressively handled.
And so your fetish is?
Pissing fetish.
Oh, boy.
That's one I can't figure out, I got to tell you. Composing, you like some?
Yeah.
We had a woman on here who was very very descriptive, very, very loquacious, and she could know how to talk. And she did a fetish sort of business, and all she did primarily was guys who wanted her to pee on her.
I don't really like that so much as just them peeing.
You just like seeing it, like you like Hustler.
Yeah, I guess.
You want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked Larry Flint where that came from. Because an awful lot of that in your magazines. Where is that? Well, we had a couple pictures, and millions of guys sent letters, so we just kept going down that direction.
Wow.
So, and he didn't have any good idea where it came from either. I don't know quite what that is, John. I got to tell you, maybe you're growing up and you see something kind of intense, and that becomes a source of attraction.
How do you stop doing that? I mean, because ultimately it's not,
it's really hard. I don't know that people, again, agree on how you stop fetishes or if you should necessarily.
Well, I don't know. It just seems odd if when he gets into his 50s or something and he's looking at retirement and he's still wanting to look at people whizzing
on
each other.
And there's a difference between needing it in your personal life and then liking to look at pictures of it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think looking at pictures, everyone would agree, is a little lesser of a problem. But if you have to act it out and you have to be with somebody that does that, that can be hard to find sometimes. And, you know, if you're trying to raise a family, it's not, And it's like trying to change what you're really find attractive sexually. And imagine, you have your sort of thing you like and somebody's going to try to change that. Impossible, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, John,
enjoy. John?
Yes.
So are you looking to try to change this?
I guess if there's something wrong with it or if it's, harmful in some way, then I guess I'll have to. But
are you okay otherwise? You have good partners? You can have stable relationships?
Yeah. I've actually been dating my girlfriend right now for almost 2 years.
And does she know about this fetish?
Yes.
Does she do it with you or for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Great. I don't know. It just
your parents are listening tonight. Joel.
I know.
So
my parents
talk
are listening
about the
tonight.
Fact that you
so
and your wife are into this kind of stuff. Come on.
Yeah. It just seems like, okay, so if they're doing that, it just doesn't seem. I mean, I guess that sexuality goes out in all sorts of different areas, but is it? It doesn't seem like it's right necessarily.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it, I don't know, in the general sense of.
Doesn't seem healthy?
Doesn't seem healthy, no.
Yes, it seems like it should. Here's the thing that we've observed is that these things don't always exist in a vacuum.
No.
I mean, it's rare that it's just this one thing. It's usually there's a sort of
a whole series
of alignments that need to be made. And
okay.
It just comes out in this one area. Now, again, you have to always ask, though. I mean, if people don't want treatment, if they're functioning okay.
No, yeah, I get, yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
It's different levels. All right, great.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number here. It's Loveline. Joel McHale's visiting us. He is from The Soup, and he and I will be right back.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale in the studio with us tonight. He is on E's The Soup, 10 o'clock Friday and throughout the week. This now is Don. Don, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Groom.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Joel.
Hey.
I've been talking to my girlfriend, and we've been discussing what the statistics are for transferring of STDs with oral sex.
Yeah.
You've mentioned using dental dams and stuff in the past shows, and I'm just trying to find out how, you know, is it as common as regular intercourse, or...
Yeah, it's interesting you would call with this question tonight, because I was just doing some work with the Trojan condom people, and I was asking that very question.
Yeah, sure.
What's that?
You were testing?
No, they're wanting to come up with some public health initiatives and stuff, and they were talking about oral sex and ways to make oral sex. Everyone said, look, we got to come up with the data precisely on what the... Because I know, for instance, the CDC occasionally will come out with a warning and say, you know, this year the most rapidly increasing... This was last year. The most rapidly increasing STD is oral sex in, like, Hispanic females, or oral gonorrhea, throat gonorrhea in Hispanic females under the age of 18 or something. That's the most rapidly... But it could be going from, you know... 10 cases to 30 cases.
Right.
You know, I didn't see the data. So I'm actually right now trying to collect some of the data on the incidence of oral STDs. In terms of the transfer...
How are you collecting the data?
I'm just going to the CDC and other places. So I'm just working with some
people
to get it together. And I'm not going out and doing the studies myself. I'm just collecting the literature that's out there. And
hanging out with... Because
I realized that I didn't actually have that in my head. And it was sort of surprising that I always thought I did, but I didn't have the actual data. And... So I will get that for you, Don, eventually. I don't know how long it's going
to
take me, but I will have it within the next couple of weeks.
And then the CDC as well. I couldn't find
it. Yeah, it's hard. Right. It's hard to find. Right. It's hard to find. It's funny. And I don't know why it's so hard to find. I'm trying to figure that out, too.
Has it not been really tested?
It has been. I think that the problem is that most STDs are reported just by disease, not by location. And so you can get the disease incidence pretty readily, but to get an accurate reflection of the incidence, it has to be a sort of specific studies rather than routine collection, data collection. But, Don, let me just tell you, if you've got it in your mouth, it's as easy to transfer it anywhere else as from your genitalia. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you got it there, or if you have it in your genitalia and somebody puts the mouth there, it's as easy to collect it there.
Don, is something going on?
No, not yet.
Are you doing an independent study of some sort?
Not yet.
Are you making plans? Are you going to Haiti?
Well, she's bisexual, and we were talking about her with another woman, and we were trying to figure out if, you know...
Generally,
his relationship will end relatively quick.
And generally,
to you, right,
yes, of course. And generally, female with a bisexual saying bye bye to your next relationship. But,
yeah.
But generally speaking, we female to female sexual encounters tend to have lower transmission rates of most STDs, particularly when they stay. Well,
but aren't they more susceptible to it?
I know the HIV transmission is much, much lower. The other viral disease is much, much lower. We don't see a lot of transmission that way.
Hmm.
So, again, right. I'm going to look it all up. I'm going to figure this out.
But there's more in males? Male to male?
Yeah, I can't say that. See, I can't say it. I have to look this up. Chris.
All right.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, man.
Hey, Joel. I just wanted to ask you if it was a cool experience working on Spider-Man 2.
Oh, my gosh. It was the most nerve-wracking day of my life.
Oh, yeah?
The first day, which is when I shot all my scene, was the most nerve-wracking. I was there for almost 2 weeks, I usually, when I've done sorts of things like this, you get to the set and then you wait for a very long time. I got there around 7 in the morning and they could not have rushed me faster to the set and sitting in front of Tobey Maguire and Aunt May, the cutest woman ever. And I was just terrified that I was going to screw something up. But it ended up being really, really fun. And the amount of money that goes into each day of shooting that movie was staggering.
Didn't things have to be pulled all over the room? A lot of things had
there
to
was
fly
all,
around?
Yeah, all sorts. They blew up this desk, and there was wires connected to the desk, and the desk blew apart, and it was so much fun. Two entire 35mm camera crews, and I've done a lot of commercials, and you work with really good people, but when you're working on a movie like that, like one of the women running, I was like, so, just making small talk, I was like, so what movies have you worked on? She's like, I got best cinematographer for Das Boot 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
Oscar. And I was like, oh, that's great. I was on varsity basketball.
I work on the soup.
Junior year. Yeah, so it was great. And Alfred Molina was really, really, really nice. And I'm not currently in Spider-Man 3. They didn't bring my character back of the banker.
Shocking, shocking.
Dang it.
Okay, Chris?
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
And this before we go to commercial. Chelsea?
Yes.
What's up there?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. You're on Joel McHale.
Oh, okay. I have a question.
Yes.
My husband and I are driving home, and we're listening to your show, and we were wondering, when we were dating, we dated for about a year, and I could have orgasms regularly, but ever since we got married, I can't. Like, I had one on our honeymoon, but ever since then, I can't.
A cure for orgasm is a wedding cake, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Do you still like your husband?
No, I love him very much, and we have pretty much the same relationship we've had since we've been dating.
What do you mean orgasm all the time? You mean you could easily orgasm with intercourse, or you had multiple orgasms?
I could orgasm with intercourse, not all the time, but on a regular basis. Like maybe, like every so often, it wasn't a problem.
All right, basically. Chelsea, hold on. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to get right back to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on 1 second.
Right.
This is Joel McHale. Nice. Joel McHale from The Soup. Be at 10 p.m. Friday on the Ryan Seacrest Network.
Yep.
The Soup. Also, you can see him on Nympho Nurse and The Retard.
Yep.
Coming up on Fox.
I'm excited. I play the neighbor.
The wacky neighbor. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. More Joel, more you when we get back.
Love Line will be right back.
Loveline, Joel McHale in the studio with us tonight. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. You can see Joel on The Soup, 10 o'clock Friday on E and throughout the week. We were talking to Chelsea, and Chelsea used to have orgasms readily with her boyfriend, or at that time fiancé, right?
Yes, correct.
Are you a bike rider?
Am I a what?
You ride a lot of bikes?
No.
Okay.
Actually, a pertinent question because
really
people can get a crush in their pudendal nerve and get some dysfunction and numbness down there.
There you go.
Joel's proud of himself. So anyway, let me ask you this: when you got married, which is when the orgasm ceased, did anything else start? New birth control pill, medication?
No, really? Nothing out of the ordinary.
You haven't changed anything that way.
Well, the only thing that's really changed is our finances, but I can't see like that being a problem because I don't really think about our finances when we're in bed.
You mean you have less money now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she's stressed out.
She's saying no, that doesn't really seem to get, she's not aware of it being stressing her out anyway. And you're sure no medicines, no vitamins, no supplements,
medicines, no vitamins,
no change in the birth.
Really changed.
No change
and
in the birth control.
He's very, very eager to do whatever I want, so I don't understand why I can't.
Well, here's, let me just.
How about some role playing? There's this thing called Nympho Nurse and Retard. We will hook you up with, we'll get the number for you.
Sweeping the country.
Sheesh. What do you think, Dr. Drew?
Well, I'm just trying to sort of think of the possibilities. And one of the common ways that people go from sexual to non-sexual is if they've had a sexual abuse history. Sometimes there's sort of a bipolar quality to that. Is there anything like that going on?
Sexual abuse, like with my father or something?
No, like anybody and your anybody under the age of, say, 14, 12.
No.
Why do you, how come you didn't just say,
14
no,
and
absolutely
a half,
not.
14 and a half.
You're sort of qualifying it. Is there anything we should know about what happened to you growing up?
Well, not since I've been with him.
When you were a little girl, did anything happen?
Not when I was a little girl, no.
When did something, you had a rape or something?
A little one.
Well, is something, are you having flashbacks or anything reminding you of that?
No, when I'm with him, no. It happens like a year or two before I met him.
The rape did?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a date rape?
No.
What happened?
It's kind of hard to talk about.
sure.
Well, I maybe that's the issue here, the fact that this thing has been sort of festering for a long time, and it's so deep, it's so intense for you, you can't even discuss it. That certainly can affect your sexual functioning.
That's true, but do you think it would have had this problem when we were dating, though?
You would think. It's kind of weird, but I don't know.
As you said, there could be a bipolar.
Yeah, there's sometimes an up and a down quality to trauma, that people become very sexual and then sort of shut down after a while.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So maybe look into it, and if it's still happening, you know you've eliminated one thing.
Right. At least as we fish around here, that's the one thing we can point at as a probable cause, okay?
So how do I fix it?
Well, you got to go see someone who's used to dealing with trauma and rape survivorship, that kind of thing. Most general therapists should be able to handle that, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be anything, you know, don't see a sex therapist or anything. Just see somebody who's well-trained, you know, PhD or psychiatrist. Who has
on the side of a bus or something. Just call it one of those numbers.
Okay. Mike, what's up? Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to talk to Mike. I want to talk to Felix. Felix, what's up?
Hey, my name is Felix. I go to Central Washington, and I'm on spring break right now as of Sunday, and I came back because I have a girlfriend I'm serious with, and I came back to a health center to get checked. You know, that's what me and my buddies did. I waited for my buddies to. And I got checked, and I'm positive for gonorrhea, and I was...
You and your buddies just decided to meet at the clinic?
No. I came back from break, and I had to get tested for STDs because I'm serious with my girlfriend, and we don't use protection. She's
on... Hold on.
All right.
First problem,
you're going to Central Washington University. All right, what's number two, Dr. Drew?
I've actually been there.
My brother went there.
Really?
He's listening.
Wildcat.
Yeah, go Wildcats.
Central Washington.
I went to my brother's commencement there.
Felix?
Felix McHale. And there was about 3,000 people in his class, 2,500. They read every name.
Nice.
It was 4 hours long.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
That would put me under.
The first girl's name? Cinnamon Rolls. No joke. It was great. Anyway, sorry.
Megan?
Mm-hmm. Megan?
Yeah.
What?
You're just arbitrarily yelling out names, Felix?
Krista.
Oh, yeah. That's Krista.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Felix, you go nuts down to spring break, and then you head back to the, you line up at the student health services.
Go back to Ellensburg.
I'm back in my hometown. I'm in South Seattle, and I decided to go get an ST check. I thought it'd be good to know. And I didn't think I had anything, and then I did, and now I don't know how to tell her without, I'm just freaked out about it.
What exactly, what kind of test did they do?
It was just a regular STD check.
What did they
Rorschach.
Do? What did they do?
They did, I went to the little bathroom thing, and I peed in a cup, and then they took it, and then they emailed me back and told me to come in, and then they said I had it.
Oh.
Not gonorrhea enough from peeing in a cup, no. So this is bogus. So there you go.
And it's
bogus, Felix.
Bogus.
Why would you lie about going to Central Washington? No, that he didn't lie about. That's the one truth in the whole story here. Where'd you go for spring break?
Where'd I go for spring? Oh, I was just in Seattle.
You went to Seattle in spring break?
It's awesome there.
Oh, my.
It's like Mexico.
With rain.
With cold rain. Really cold rain. And you have to be 21 to drink, and they're really strict about it. But other than that, it's awesome. The beach.
Huge.
For spring break in Seattle?
Just, you can run for miles.
Oh, man. Until your feet go nuts. Hypothermia is awesome.
Mike.
Yes.
What's up there? You're on with Joel McHale.
How you doing?
We're good.
I just need to ask a few questions.
All right. Here we go.
My girlfriend, she's 22. I'm 37.
37.
Great. Good. Very good.
Basically, she gets wet too much.
Uh-huh.
And it like turns me off. So if she's really wet, I can't feel it.
Yeah.
So what can I do about it? And then also, like, when she, I mean, I don't know if it has something to do with it, but when she goes to the bathroom, it's like, it's very, you can hear her. It's like Niagara Falls. And then also, when she has her period, she's very heavy on her period. So what does that have to do with it? What's going
she's
on?
She's just Zoftig. Mike, here's the deal. Those things are not related.
Okay.
There is the case that when women are excessively wet, it can be a problem for guys because it could be tough to feel anything sometimes. You can try a condom, and sometimes...
Well, he can't feel it, or he doesn't really like it.
He can't feel anything. And then the other thing is, if she gets on a progestational birth control pill, that's like a low-dose pill or the Depo-Provera shot, oftentimes there's some drying with that. and then kind of settle that down a bit.
And isn't it true that with age difference, there can be way more wetness?
Yes, of course. All right. Of course, everyone
knows
that.
The further you get away in age,
the more wet, and the less he feels.
Is he really saying? I thought he said that he didn't like it.
Ask him.
Are you saying that you don't like the fact that that happens to her, or you can't? It's not happening for you when you're with her.
It's just when she's too wet, it turns me off. It's like I can't feel anything, but she's enjoying it, but I'm not enjoying it.
I see.
Did you try a condom?
Oh yeah, we tried a condom. Yeah, sometimes like even in between time, she's got to like wipe it so that way she's a little bit drier, and even then it's tight, and then it just
you're
the man.
A romantic. How did you land a 22-year-old? That is great.
She's Asian, Laos.
Oh, right.
She's very dedicated, and we've been together for 2 years. We're getting married in about a year, so.
All right.
So you ordered her?
No. No, I didn't order her. I met her online.
You're going to marry a 22-year-old?
Online.
Oh, man.
It's good times.
Good job, buddy.
I don't want to hear anymore. Cynthia.
Hello?
Hi, Cynthia. What's happening?
Hi, is this Joel?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Joel, I'm a huge fan. I've never missed an episode of The Soup. And
wow.
I'm a huge
You're the first
Joel
person
fan.
Tonight who knows that I'm on a show.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan, and I would love to be a cameraman for your show. I think that would be, like, the greatest honor.
Well, you're going to have to go through Tom, and he's about 240. And you're going to have to start working on it now because he is a formidable presence.
He's your stage manager, right?
He's our stage manager. And he's you hear him off camera. He's really great because he really does. He has a really good sense of what's working and what's not working.
You got to get him dancing in front of the camera again. I haven't seen him dance in about 4 or 5 years.
Okay, we'll bring
him.
We usually have guys in gorilla suits with cowboy hats
him
on.
Him dancing. He is hysterical when he dances.
Yeah, he's...
I don't know. Me and my sister never missed an episode. And every time I watch a show, I crack up and I cannot stop laughing.
Oh, see?
I work at In-N-Out, and I'm like, oh, my God, when is he going to come through? Because a lot of famous people go through. And I'm like, when is Joel going to come through?
Which one are you at?
Which In-N-Out?
Well,
can I get free food?
Oh, my God, I would give you free everything.
Yes!
Which one?
Yes!
I used to work at the one on Sunset Boulevard.
Oh.
But you don't work there now, so you can't help him there.
No, because I'm actually moving back there next month because I moved to Huntington Beach to attend film school.
Oh, so, good for you.
Yeah, so I want to be an editor or cameraman. And I work at one in Huntington Beach, so if you come here in Huntington Beach, I'll give you free food.
Is there only one in Huntington Beach?
It's on Beach Boulevard and Talbert.
All right.
How about the one on Sunset? Which one is that? Sunset and...
It's on Sunset and Orange. It's across the street from Hollywood High School.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Joel, I don't know. Me and my sister are your biggest fans. We it's on your show every time.
Right on. Well, thank
McDonald's
you.
McDonald's across the street from.
Not across the street. It's on the same side.
Same
of the street.
Side. Okay.
Yeah, it's on Sunset and Orange.
All right. Fair
so
enough.
Just west of that. You know what's sad is that I didn't know what In-N-Out was before I moved here.
Oh.
And it's the greatest burgers in the world.
Yes. You live in Glendale. It's a big one. Over
there's a great one. But then everywhere else in the country, they don't have them.
No, they have White Castle.
Hey, yeah. Joel.
What
do you like? What's in your CD player right now? If we were to raid your CD case, what kind of CDs would we find?
Well, I have Kanye. I have an 18 disc changer, so here we go. I have that Late Registration album, which I think is very good. I got some Rufus Wainwright. You know who he is?
Yeah.
All right, and then a lot of mix CDs, and I have a band called McCluskey. They're a punk band and a British band called Muse. I can't believe I'm telling.
Keep going.
And then I have the new Fiona Apple album.
Wow.
I know. Don't make fun of me. It is very good. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
I got it for my wife. I swear, I got it for her, and she really likes it.
We love Fiona. We've been a fan of Fiona forever.
Yeah, she's great.
You're good.
That new album. Really great.
Sweet. Yeah,
so how about in your... Okay.
Today, my sister surprised me with a ticket to go see Slayer.
Really?
I'm a heavy metal fan.
Wow. Well, I grew up in Seattle, so we...
Cynthia's private phone line here.
All right, bye.
This is Brian. Brian?
Hello?
Oh, wait, Melissa, I beg your pardon. Melissa, what's up?
Hi. Dr. Drew?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hi, Drew.
Hello. Hey.
Okay, I don't know if you'd really call me an alcoholic, but I like to drink.
How old are you?
14.
Okay.
Drinking at 14, we call that a lot of different things.
It's either alcoholic or European.
Well. And so what's your question?
I was just wondering, does there have to be alcoholism in your family for you to be an alcoholic? Because there's no trace of it in our family that I know of.
She's a trailblazer.
Where are your ancestors from?
I don't really know on my dad's side because my parents are divorced, but I know that like he's like kind of African and stuff, and my mom's like Irish. So.
Well, Irish, that pretty much is a positive history there. So
Sorry.
What? What'd your mom tell you?
Like, she can't stand like alcohol at all. Like, she hates it and stuff.
Yeah, but look at her parents or aunts and uncles, and I think you'll find it.
How much are you drinking, Melissa?
Well, I don't really drink that much, but I've passed out a couple times.
Oh, okay.
That's a bad sign at 14. There are other conditions, too, that can make people very young drink a lot. Personality disorders, mood disorders. But this needs to be evaluated rapidly. It's a very, very bad and dangerous sign for you, Melissa.
Do you hear that command, Melissa?
Yeah.
He had just put a spell on you. Now you have to go talk to someone.
You know, I haven't had to look into my crystal ball tonight until this moment. And I just looked in and,
Why don't you do what the Egyptians did, Dr. Drew? They used to read the entrails of lambs.
Yeah, yeah.
Sheep.
Sure.
And I just think it would be more exciting.
Oh, I could do that.
All
okay,
right,
instead of the crystal ball, we'll talk about sheep entrails. That's good.
Melissa, do you hear? So you got to go see somebody.
Yeah, Melissa, get some help with this, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, good luck. Bye. Now is Cam. What's up, Cam? You're on Joel McHale.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Drew?
Good.
I have a question. About a year ago, I started taking creatine, and I noticed that...
To work out?
Yeah, I work out. I noticed that some hair is growing from my shoulders. Like, it's a little bit thick, kind of like pubic hair. It's about an inch long, and it's pretty spread out. I don't know if that had to do with the creatine or, I don't know, just hormones from me working out, or I don't know.
Are you taking any other supplements, or?
Protein shakes.
But nothing in them, no glandulars or anything like that?
No, none of that.
Never done any steroids?
Horse tranquilizers?
Not at all, no.
Nothing like that.
I don't know. I've never heard of creatine doing this. And the people have lots of funny questions about creatine. But
And clearly, it sounds like the workouts are going great. I mean, you probably look a lot better now that you're muscly and covered with hair.
Okay. He's clearly amused by that. But Cam, look, you're at an age where body hair growth can become sort of more prominent. And that's probably
fantastic
just a
coincidence. Pubes, if you have one in
here. If there's a problem, fantastic pubes will also take care of body hair.
Yep.
Back waxing, I hear, is they're specialized in. Kelly, what's up?
Hi, I actually have a question about my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, sure, your friend.
No, I swear, it's my friend.
Yeah, your friend.
What's your friend's first name?
Candace.
Oh, good. And she appreciates bringing it up on National
Radio. Yeah, I'll listen to you. So my question is, she actually just found out that she got herpes from one of her boyfriends that she actually just caught cheating on her.
One of her boyfriends?
Yes, one of her many. So.
Well, how can he be cheating if he's only one of many?
Well, because she was dating him for about 8 months, and she went over on her lunch break to give him lunch and found him in bed with another girl.
I see. So he's her most recent boyfriend, you mean? She doesn't have multiple boyfriends.
Does she have multiple boyfriends?
Simultaneously?
No.
Okay,
so she's had probably like 5 to 10, somewhere
so around. So mad, I'm going to Jared's house.
Her most recent boyfriend, yes.
So, I was just wondering, I mean, we just got back from a weekend in Vegas, and I've been really worried. I know it's panicky because I don't want to get this at all. I don't know if maybe, like, because we shared a hotel room, so I don't know if I can get it by sharing a toilet with her.
No.
No,
absolutely not. You can get it by having sex with her.
By having sex with her, okay.
Yes, and that's about it.
Okay.
Well, I can't say only by that. It can last a little while on a wet towel. It can last a little while on a drain board surface. But for the most part, it's, you know, if somebody says they got herpes, they ain't talking about wet towels.
Okay.
And essentially
and
never
I
happens.
I assume it would be pretty difficult to get it from a wet towel.
It's pretty difficult. It essentially never happens.
What hotel did you stay at?
We stayed at the MGM Grand.
You're in trouble.
So you just get herpes. Stay in there.
I had a couple of friends. They got crabs there.
Oh nice.
My God, ew.
Yeah.
What?
Towels.
The lion.
Girls are from towels and clothes and disgusting things all around the
What'd you guys do there?
Oh, my God, it was so crowded. We could barely do anything. We tried to go to Pure, and there was no possible way to get in. We went to like, the jive bars on the side.
You went to some jive bars?
Yeah, just like the bogus thing on the side. We wanted to go to the big stuff, but we couldn't.
Yeah. Sorry.
Huh. They knew she had herpes.
There you go.
Heather.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, I got a case of pink eye a while back, and they gave me some antibiotic eye drops, mm-hmm. and a few days later, I got a yeast infection, and that is the only thing I can figure that it was. I know that antibiotics can cause it, but eye drops?
I suppose it's possible. It's a certain amount of absorption through the eye. It's unlikely, but it's possible, I guess. I can imagine
that's
that.
So
yeah.
Weird.
It is weird. Was it Tobradex, something like that? Tobramycin drops?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
No, or erythromycin drops? Man. Anyway, there's, you know, I suppose it could happen that way. It depends on what the organ, what the thing was. Some of it's...
Did you get it taken care of?
Oh, yeah, I was fine.
And it could be just a coincidence, too.
Yeah.
You work in that bakery that Drew was talking about
earlier?
For the
bakery issue. But more than not, just the fact that yeast infections are common. They can occur randomly, and sometimes it can seem like it's associated with something else you're doing, and it may not be.
Okay.
But it's highly suspicious here. It makes you worry, wonder.
Yeah.
You get a lot of, that's two yeast calls in a night, Dr. Drew.
I blame you.
Sorry about that.
This is the Joel McHale yeast call night.
Yeah.
Ava.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Wow, that was really fast. Okay. Yeah. Wow, this is kind of exciting. I've been listening to your show, Dr. Drew, on K-Rock since I was 11, and I'm 20 as an anticipatory preteen. So, yeah, hi. Okay, nice. I recently...
Drew, does that bother you that she's been listening since 11?
No, yeah, it's a little bit young. We'll be going to be listening. It bothers me when they say they're young, and it bothers me when they say, now, about the methadone and the heroin. Then I feel like, oh boy, what have we done here?
No, I was just very curious, actually. Mm-hmm. So my problem now is that I can't say no to guys who I have sex with, and the last guy that I had sex with was really pushy, and I didn't know very much about him, and it turns out that he gave me HPV, and I know he did because I get tested every time I do something, which is kind of a hassle, but I don't have sex that often. So I have HPV, and I know what my vagina looks like. I know what it looks like. And so freaking out about having it, I, like, get a mirror and look at it, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is that? And it looks like these, like, strange little, like, fingery, spiky things. And so I went to my gynecologist, and I saw a nurse practitioner, and she said that if that's not what it normally looks like, then it probably is an effect of the HPV, but that some women just naturally have that and it looks like that. So she couldn't treat me there for it. And when I went to have my cryosurgery the next week, the woman there, who was really even reluctant to do the cryosurgery on me, looked at it and told me that it was just like a remainder of my hymen. It kind of like became part of my skin or something. And
why were they reluctant to do your cryo surgeries?
They're like, I don't know if I'm going to. All right, fine. I'll give me the wand.
I don't know if I'm going to take your precancerous cells out. Why don't you just live with them? I mean, that's what it seemed like. She was like, well, normally when you're this young, we wait about a year and see if it goes away.
Right, which it often does.
But she still was like,
it often does.
Whatever.
It's sort of some of the newer recommendations is you wait and watch.
Right.
So, and again, the only certain subtypes of the wart virus are the ones you have to worry about.
Right.
The other ones go away by themselves, no big deal.
So this is totally curable?
Totally curable no matter what it is. The persistent ones are the ones that can cause the cervical cancer. There's going to be a vaccine, as I said earlier, any day. And if you have one of the bad viruses that can cause the cervical cancer, it will be with you for life, effectively, and needs to be screened regularly.
Right. So you really think there's going to be...
How often are you taking a mirror out?
Before I did it, maybe like...
Once an hour.
No, not once an hour. If that's what makes you happy, then yes, once an hour.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Sometimes when I get out my vibrator, I do it.
So how often is that?
That would have been before the HPV, probably a couple times a week.
A couple times a week? And after the HPV?
Only 3 times now because I'm kind of afraid.
You're afraid of what you're going to see?
Yeah.
I think you're reading in. HPV doesn't cause anything. Really, it doesn't. And when it causes warts, they're just little warts. They look like warts, and they come right off when you treat them.
Is there a slight little girl voice here, Dr. Drew?
Yes, very definitely.
There really is. I know I sound like I'm 12. You know what? I have braces.
That's when she started listening, Dr. Drew.
Something happened to you when you were 12?
When I was 12? No, no. Actually, I've had a really horrible sexual history, like, as far as, like, dating at normal ages, but nothing happened to me when I was a kid.
Okay.
You mean you just date guys that are bad for you, and they treat you bad, and then it ends horribly?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, good. Well, why don't you stop that?
Why don't you date nice guys? What?
I'm working on that, actually.
You going to therapy?
I did, and I met a nice guy.
Oh, see how that works?
The therapist.
Okay, now, but there's nothing sexual going on because.
Oh, that's So you've got to be able to be sexual with a normal person because again, they're sort of split off inside. Only the bad sexual person can be with the bad guy. Well, the good guy, they're shut down sexually because they feel guilty and ashamed, whatever.
Wow.
All right, Ava, you're doing a little too much looking. Do a little more trusting of the people that are taking care of you. And you've already, you know, said, oh, I'm. You've turned everything that the caretakers have said into some sort of negative, paranoid posture. Well, she's going to leave those cancerous cells there and just not want to take them out. But in fact, that's the recommendations these days for much of what's done. Watchful waiting on certain cell types, which you probably undoubtedly had, and that they've looked carefully for changes related to the HPV, and they're not finding that, not because they want to, you know, deceive you, because there's nothing there. It's very simple to see those things. So just learn to trust people a little more. Something happened to you growing up with the people that were supposed to be trusting, for whatever reason, turned out not to be trustworthy. I'm sure that's why you picked the a-hole guys now, too.
Okay.
Joel McHale in here, right? Right? Uplifting calls.
Yeah,
only.
That was great.
Friday night, 10 o'clock, the soup, and throughout the weekend. And more Joel, more you, more me when we return.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Everybody's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale in here tonight. The Soup, Friday, 10 o'clock. E, or Ryan Seacrest Network, as Joel prefers to call it. And we're going right past
the network on television.
Jesse.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jesse. What's happening?
Hey, I just have a question for you. My best friend in the world, she moved to Vegas a couple months ago, and she didn't move down there as a stripper, but she is now. And
what'd she move down there as?
Nurse. She worked at Denny's.
She worked at Denny's?
She went to Vegas for the Denny's opportunity there?
Well, she went down there for the money opportunity, but she transferred with Denny's. But
because you can make more money at the Denny's in Vegas?
Huh?
Did she make, than where she was living?
Well, you said for the money opportunities.
Denny's or Denny's?
No, not with Denny's. Just to have a job when she got there.
I see. What did she intend to do?
She doesn't really see the future. She's just one of those people. And
Jesse,
best friend in the whole world.
Jesse, best friend in the whole world. Not our best friend, yours. You got to explain who she is and what her plans are and what she's all about. Why did she move to Las Vegas?
She moved to Las Vegas because she's just one of those people who sees money. We cannot continue.
It's like a scab I've got to pick off.
But you,
Jesse,
my ears
what
are bleeding.
Money what money was she going to get in Las Vegas
before
she started after her first job down there after the Denny's thing. She only was there for like a week. She was a Costco agent in a strip club, and then she went down there to strip,
let's face it, or a prostitute.
She went to strip central.
Maybe she did, but
maybe
she,
she, you know, ultimately that could have been her goal, and that's what she ended up doing. But
What's your question?
Well, my question is, she's her dad has always been a really heavy drug addict. Still is.
Her dad?
Right.
Her dad, yeah.
And, this is all, it's coming to focus here.
And her mom.
He loves Moons Over Miami.
And her mom is, her mom's it's been addicted to painkillers, and she's an alcoholic ever since I can remember.
Got it, okay.
And now she's been drinking every night, but now she's kind of like doing the, oh my gosh, I make so much more money when I'm totally drunk. So she calls me every day, and I'm just,
Are you driving right now, Jesse?
What?
Are you driving?
Yeah.
Isn't that dangerous for everyone on the road?
There's nobody on the road.
That's a good thing.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Right. Nobody's on the road. Anderson, don't worry. Jesse, here's the deal. She is in big trouble. She's an addict, alcoholic, who's getting going in a field where trauma survivors tend to congregate and addicts, alcoholics get going. And she's well under disease now, and we'll see what happens.
She's clearly choosing to do it, right?
What can I do for her?
Really nothing, except to try to get her some treatment. She's going to need treatment if this is going to get better.
Don't tip her as much.
Yeah, if you can just reflect back to her how it makes you feel to see her self-destructing like this and express your concerns for her and offer to get her to a hospital.
It's probably just don't talk to her at all, because hearing you for 2 minutes made me want to drink really fast.
Oh.
No way.
Is she trying to get a rise out of you when she calls you?
Not at all. No, nothing like that. And she doesn't even expect that that's not even the part of her story. It's just like, I made so much money last night but I was drunk. It's kind of like a side note. It's not like.
Jesse, what do you do for a living?
I am a student at San Francisco State and I work.
What are you studying?
I'm a food server right now.
What are you studying?
Psych. I want to be an eating disorder specialist.
Your girlfriend probably has an eating disorder. She has the history of someone with an eating disorder, frankly.
Even though she worked at Denny's.
She's a trauma-surviving alcoholic addict who is going to get into big, big trouble here. And
she could be your thesis later on.
If you want to get her some help, she may not want help, Jesse. She may need to go down a little further before she's ready.
But ultimately, she has to be ready.
Oh, right? And even she has to be desperate.
But you can tell her that, you know, it's not good.
Yes, you can keep reminding her that this is something bad, that you see her self-destructing, and this is a progressive condition that's going to end up in big, big trouble. Hopefully, she'll survive it.
I can't believe Denny's has a strip club in Vegas.
Isn't that nice? This is Mark. Mark, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Is it possible to get a girl pregnant if, like, both of you are completely naked and you're having dry sex and you happen to pre-cum a little bit and it gets on her but not inside of her?
People always ask these theoretical questions, you know.
You're going to have to send the film of it to like coaches breaking it down and having to look at what happens in the play to see if. Yeah, well, of course, you have a geesh. I'm not even a doctor.
Not even an accent, if you want to call it that. It's just like a little.
I'm just saying, Mark, if you can dream it up, it's possible. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It could ask
if
somebody,
you're both naked. And you have
semen gets on the vagina. Yes, it's always, of course, it's possible. It'd be immaculate reception. Conception,
yeah.
Basically. Yeah, I was just imagining it being like the replays on the, check the replays.
Yeah, and just barely, just the dragging that one foot. Did he get both feet in? And then it's like, and on the replay,
in this
can't
case,
really
it's the pre-com. We're just checking to see if it's really gotten where it needs. It could possibly.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, right now he is. He's got his head in one of those big. He's got like
those
big,
booths.
Yeah, big booth over his head right now. And she's pregnant.
Yeah. So Mark,
go get a test.
Well, no, that or get the morning after pill. If there's any question at all, take that morning after contraceptive. It's basically birth control pill, double dose. Taken within 3 days of an unprotected encounter, and it works by preventing an egg from being released. It does not have any meaningful effect on the fertilized egg. Yeah. If an egg gets fertilized, you get pregnant. That's
Could the dry hump actually cook the egg at some point?
No, not even a super hot dry hump. No, no.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
How do you know?
Just saying. Ronnie.
Is that Ronnie?
Yes, yes.
Hi. Dr. Drew, you're the best. I've been listening for years. Joel, I went to the University of Washington drama. We actually played the same role, phlebotomy and tripping. You did the first one. I did the last one. But my question was...
hold on. Joel has a puzzled look on his face.
Phlebotomy and tripping?
Tripping? It was live action stage sitcom parody. Mickey Chalmers wrote it.
Oh, vague. Yes.
When
yes.
When you're in the PNTP, yeah.
All right.
Here, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Go yeah. Huskies.
Yeah, go Huskies.
Nice.
So, yeah, I also watched Almost Live, and there was the reunion special, and I was
yep.
shocked to see Juan. I was excited.
This was a local sketch comedy
right.
television yeah. show I was on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was on the air for 16 years, and it was only in Seattle. And it was this great phenomenon that was on the NBC affiliate. And we had a reunion special last September. But, yeah, I don't think there'll ever be one again because King 5 Television, which is the NBC affiliate up there, didn't realize the amount of man work it was to remake a show like that. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be one. But it would be great. It was a funny show.
Well, good luck with everything. The soup rocks. So,
thanks, man.
Spider-Man 2. I watch for you in commercials and stuff all the time. So.
Right on.
Excellent.
Right on. Thanks.
Thanks, Ronnie.
I don't know what that guy was talking about.
This is Jill. Hey, Jill. What's up?
Hey. Wow.
Hey.
Yes, Dr. Drew. I love your show.
Thank you.
Everybody says that. But I was just wondering, I have this question, it might be kind of basic, but I have horrible, horrible luck with the guys I've been seeing. I know they've all been jerks, and it always just lasts a really short time, and then they break it off. And I'm calling because just recently, I've noticed there's a pattern with this. And so I tried going for the nice guy that was older, like my mom said, and everything seemed to be going just fine. And again, he turned out to be just like everybody else. And I'm just wondering if there's like something.
Well, what? Tell us how they turned out.
How much older was he?
What's that?
How much older was the guy?
He was only 2 years older than me, but I usually go for guys that are a little bit younger. So.
How do they turn out? What happens?
Well, it's playing like exactly the same thing. It's been about, for the past year, I've seen maybe about 6 or 7 guys. And, you know, they'll usually pursue me, and everything's fine, and I think I'm a really easygoing person. But then, all of a sudden, like, right when I start thinking this might be something real, they always cut it off, and they say, well, you're way too into this, which I'm usually not into anything serious. But
why don't you pursue someone?
Well, I mean, I do that, too. It hasn't always been like that, but for the majority.
What happens when you pursue someone?
What's that?
What happens when you pursue someone?
I don't know. For the most part, I have gotten guys if I go for them, but it's
and they turn into relationships.
And then they turn into
Oh no! I mean, it's seriously like for the last 6 guys that I mentioned, it's kind of give or take. I mean, like a few of them I went for, and a few of them picked me out. So I don't know. Like, is there something that makes me attracted to the certain type of person, even though they seem nice on the
Anderson,
outside?
Do you have that shotgun really thing? Nice. That shotgun
what's that,
sound?
What's that? Sorry.
Probably, Jill, it's you. Obviously, that's the only sort of part of this equation that's fixed.
Yeah.
However, people in their 20s often do this kind of thing. This is not completely outrageous behavior for 20-year-olds. They sort of get going, and then they break it off, and they go for
it's
a while.
It's good that she's thinking about it.
Yeah. You're only 23. Are you trying too hard? Do you scare guys off? Is there something about the way you conduct yourself?
I really don't think that's what it is, because I'm a really laid-back, easygoing person, and they're the ones that are, like, buying me flowers and calling me every day. I don't even call guys for the most part.
Do you have sex with these guys?
A few of them, yeah.
How about the ones
that's why they like you?
Especially with the most recent one, that's what freaked him out.
What?
Well, I don't know. Well, he had just gotten out of a relationship, which was a warning sign right there. So I just wanted to take it slow, be, you know, his friend or whatever. And then he just was all over me. And so we ended up having sex. And then within, like, a day, he just, you know, he still wanted to call me all the time, but we couldn't kiss and we couldn't whatever. So I
did a machine gun.
Why couldn't you?
Because he felt guilty. This guy was totally messed up. I don't know. I mean, I'm really happy it's over, actually, but I'm sick of this pattern. It seems like this is always
happens.
Do guys,
after this, does your having sex with them seem to break things off?
Yeah, it's like the second we had sex, he was so freaked out, he wouldn't kiss me.
Here's the best sound. Here's the best sound effect of all. Watch.
No. I want to talk to her.
Oh no!
Wait a minute, Jill. Does having sex what lead to the? Uh oh. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Does having sex what generally leads to the breakup?
It seems like that. I mean,
is there something you do? Wait. Well, come on. Just stop.
Well,
is there something?
Well, specifically this one, it was sex that led to the breakup.
All right, but the other guys too. Is there something you're doing in that intimate encounter that freaks guys out?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. See, I mean, okay, here I'm going to let a little bit of myself out. I like, in my opinion, I like sex a lot more than typical girls.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that freaks them out. But
it can freak guys out. What do you do?
I don't know. I just really like to have sex a lot.
What does that mean?
It seems like guys would like that.
But is it the frequency or the duration? Or are you aggressive? Is something that could freak a guy out?
Are you constantly talking about it?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like talking about it. I just have no idea.
What do you do?
What do I do?
To freak them out.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I get kind of affectionate with guys, but not overly. I mean, I never say I love you or anything.
No. The sexual act itself. Is there anything? Is it duration or the intensity or something freaking the guy out, scaring him?
I don't have orgasms during sex, and people are always freaked out about that. But, I mean, despite it, I really like to have sex. So, I don't know. I mean, people always seem like it's a challenge to them, you know? And then they can't get me to orgasm, and they don't like that. But
All right. Well,
maybe.
I don't know, Jill.
I don't know. Is this all sounding?
Find a nice guy and don't rush into it and just get to know him and then have a relationship with him instead of all these dudes going around and then.
And generally speaking, if you're going for guys that are very, very exciting and things don't work out, it usually means that the things that made you attracted to those guys, attraction is basically the unhealthiest part of you attracting the unhealthiest part of the other person.
Yeah.
And so you may need to read those attractions a little bit and go, the really super exciting guys are probably going to be these dysfunctional guys that I can't have relationships with. I got to go for the guys that are not quite so exciting. The guys I kind of like, but really kind of maybe a little boring. And see what happens with that. Kind of stick in with the relationship and kind of work out this orgasm thing, too. That's not a good thing. That means you need to have somebody conduct oral sex on you because you're not going to have orgasm with intercourse. You're just not. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE.
That was exhausting.
Anderson, shoot me next time, for God's sakes, with those guns. Don't take it out of the caller. Thank you. Nympho Nurse and the Retard is the show that Joel McHale is on.
Yep, 10 o'clock Friday nights.
Also The Soup, 10 o'clock Friday nights and throughout the week. The phone number, one more time, 1-800-LOVE.
That would be a better name.
191, Joel, Drew, and you. Be back after this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back in a minute.
Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I think Joel and I have finally reached the fart phase of our relationship. Why don't you ask me that question on there that you asked me just as the mics were heating up?
Dr. Drew, and this is how I ask questions off the air. Dr. Drew, so have you ever had to take an enormous dump and then you missed part of the show?
And I said, no, have not missed, not had to miss show because of diarrhea.
Never.
Or constipation or enormous growlers, no.
How?
I know. It just happened. They're just, you're pro, you know.
Did you ever, like, go out to dinner or something? Like, you went out to sushi or something like that, and then just, or you had some bad reaction? And just over the years you've done this, you've never had a problem?
Not that I can recall of. No. No.
Wow. That is incredible.
I'm perfectly regular, that's why.
Did that ever happen to Adam?
Not that I've been sick a couple times, but never been late or something.
Okay.
One time I remember being late, I was stuck on Kimmel Show one time. I had to run over here. It's not good.
All right.
Spencer, what's up?
Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're on with Joel McHale.
I'm a first-time caller.
Long-time listener?
Yes.
13. How long have you been listening?
maybe like 3-4 years.
I started doing this show when Spencer's parents were 13.
No. Yes.
Scary.
Yep.
What's up, Spencer?
I'm just like, well, like, I'm only 13, and like, when I come, it just drips out. It doesn't really, like shoot or anything. And
that's okay. That's all
like,
right.
There's like not a lot of it.
That's okay. It's okay.
Have you thought about this a lot, Spencer?
What? Yes.
Don't think about other things. Read history.
Yeah.
Study math. Right. This is fine. Right. This is all going to be good. And if there's going to be more sort of momentum with this, it'll happen as you get 15, 16.
Like 99% of the things that happen to you, if you feel like you need to call radio shows about them, they're probably not that big of a deal. So just get an Xbox 360. I'll send one to you.
Stacy.
Hi.
What's up there?
My fiance and I, after we get married, we want to have a baby, of course. And I'm 30, and so I kind of want to have one soon. And I'm a recovering heroin addict, and I wanted to know what, you know, effects my baby would have as far as...
Do you have hepatitis C or HIV or anything?
No.
How long have you been sober?
5 years.
No, should be fine. I mean, there's about a 50% chance that the child gets the genetic potential for all this.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
But gene does not mean destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And undoubtedly, you know, your story of being a relatively young heroin addict means you had some trauma growing up, too. And I almost worry more about the trauma history for you as a mom mm-hmm. than about the addiction. Because the addiction is under control now. You're recovering. You work in a program. You have a sponsor, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I go to AA instead of NA because I just like it better.
All right. But you work in a program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was the trauma you had growing up?
Well, my mom was physically abusive, and I was raped.
Okay. So sexually abused, you mean?
No, I wasn't sexually abused. I was raped when I was like 17.
Okay. Well, usually some sexual abuse before that, too. But physical abuse can sometimes set you up for victimization. With rape as well.
And then, I have a hard time getting pregnant. I mean, I have problems with my pregnancy.
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. If you're otherwise doing okay.
Is your fiancé cool?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the military.
Yeah, the bigger problem is, again, you're a trauma survivor. You need to work on those issues because that's going to affect how you parent. You know, trauma gets transmitted intergenerationally.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've always kind of waited to... Well, obviously, to have a kid before I got married, but
yeah, and maybe get a therapist.
You know, kind of my issues with being physically abused and stuff.
Right, that's all very important that you're aware of that. Talk to your sponsor about, but you might want to get a therapist also to help with you as you go through the early part of the child's life, especially as you know, Joel, the 1 year old, it's very difficult.
So you just have to be extra careful if you've had something like this.
Yeah. Because
you never know when it's going to come out.
Well, not only that, it affects the ability to attach and how you relate to babies and kids and things. It just it affects the emotional dynamic that you have with kids. So, all right, we got to take a break once again. Joel McHale in here with us. Be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody, that's Joel McHale, and that about does it for Loveline. You can see Joel
Friday nights,
obviously on The Soup, and also on the upcoming series Nympho Nurse and the Retard.
Yeah, would you make a guest appearance
on Nympho Nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine you have
you
lots
could be
of
the doctor,
I imagine you have needs for physicians on that show, so I'd be delighted to do that.
We need Nympho Nurse stat.
I know. Television shows that are medically oriented drive me insane because they're always like,
Did you see our Grey's Anatomy thing, the Grey's Academy?
Yes, it was
how
very
to be an
good.
Sexual doctor.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Except my kids were watching. I almost had to change the channel, but it was very funny.
Oh, I got to tell you this bit we're thinking about doing.
Yeah?
Off the air.
Off the air. All right. So, anyway, Joel
McHale
on The Soup. Hopefully, you'll see him again here very soon. Coming up, let me get you the rundown here. We've got. Let's see, Carson Daly coming up this week. Actually, coming up tomorrow and the next day. And the Gregory Itzen from 24. Foo Fighters, Hawthorne Heights, Seth Green, Howie Mandel. Big lineup coming up. So stay tuned. Join us again tomorrow night with Carson Daly. In the meantime, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
See you, Nympho Nurse and Retard.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.